Lesson number four is symbols and emblems of the Holy Spirit. Father, we just thank you for this time, Father. We come just to look at your word, Father, on the Holy Spirit, on the symbols and emblems. And Father, just be with us, Father. Just anoint us with your Holy Ghost, Father, as we look at it, Father, and study your third person, Father, who's very real. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Introduction. The Holy Spirit is mentioned by name, according to this, he says, no less than 235 times in the New Testament. These include the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and Spirit, which has a capital S. Apart from the three names, he is referenced to a number of times by symbols and emblems. And he says there's at least six symbols of emblems in the Bible which are direct references to the Holy Spirit. The dove, the symbol of the Holy Spirit at the baptism of Christ, Luke chapter 3. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And then over in Mark, there's not one of them, but Mark chapter 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. And there went out unto all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sin. And John was clothed with camel's hair, with a girdle of skin about his loin, and he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preach, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from the Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in the Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted. Well, I don't want to go that far. And was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered unto him. And the dove descended. The dove is a symbol of purity. And the dove descended on Christ at his baptism. And then Paul wrote, who knew no sin. And then Paul wrote, who did no sin. And then John wrote, in him is no sin. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. it is dangerous for a Christian to have any impure things in their life. And then the dove is a symbol of peace. Harmless as doves. Peace and purity are closely related. Peace is identified with the Holy Spirit, and in one of the fruits of the Spirit is peace. And people who are truly saved are to be at peace one with another. And then the second one is wind, is a symbol of the Holy Spirit in the Old and New Testament. It means breath or wind, what Numa says there. I'm not really sure, but... And then... In the Old Testament, verses 8 and 9 tie the symbols together in 37, 1 through 10, Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And he said, again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter unto you, and ye shall live. And I will lay shoots upon you, and will bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I was prophesied. There was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the shoots and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, and a seething great army. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And then fire is a symbol of the first filling of men with the Holy Ghost over in Acts chapter 2. When the Holy Spirit descended on the day of Pentecost, there was wind. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And fire gives light. This teaches the Holy Spirit provides light on the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is the author of the Word of God. He's called the Spirit of Wisdom and Revelation. And fire gives warmth. There's a great need today of the fire of the Holy Spirit in our churches. And the Lord said, then thou art neither hot nor cold. Scripture strongly indicates that we are in the Laodicean age, not cold, not hot or cold. To God, that is sickening. Fire gives purity. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Burning. He shall sit as a refiner and purifier, and shall purify the sons of Levi. Tells us the fire shall never go out. At the judgment seat of Christ, every man's work is revealed by fire. So whatever we've done when we've been raptured out and we stand before and the believers, what we've done will be tested by fire. And Christian, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Much better to purify yourself now than at the judgment seat.
Amen.
And then water is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Water is used as a symbol of the Spirit that speaks of a future blessing which will be poured out upon Israel. Water is essential to life. Water is not a luxury, but a necessity. Man cannot live without water. Without the Holy Spirit, the sinner remains lifeless for the cause of Christ.
Yeah.
And then water is essential for growth. When the roots of a plant cannot reach water, it withers. And Christians are to be like a river planted by rivers of water. And we're supposed to bring forth fruit in His season. And walk in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, and bear fruit of the Spirit. And then water produces power. Scores of people are saved under the preaching of those men. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words, but in demonstration of the Spirit of the power. 1 Corinthians 2:4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that was perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. Oil was used to anoint the kings and priests. Samuel anointed Saul with oil. And then Samuel also anointed David with oil. And then the candlestick in the tabernacle pictures this. And it was made of pure gold with no wood. And the center shaft pictures Jesus Christ. And the six branches picture Christian. And six is the number of a man. It is called a candlestick, but it's not used candles. It used pure olive oil to burn and give light. And the center branch and the six side branches are bows like flowers on top. And then oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power. Jesus himself declared this truth. And this was fulfillment of prophecy in Isaiah 61. Jesus declared himself to be light of the world. And Jesus declared that John the Baptist to be a burning and shining light. Why? He was filled with the Spirit. And John was a faithful witness pointing the world to Jesus Christ. And Jesus foretold that he would leave this world, and he instructed the disciple, "Ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine." For a Christian to shine, they must be filled with the Spirit. God instructed Moses exactly how to make the candlestick, and then he said, make it after the pattern. But maybe the pastor can answer the one question. When we baptize them, and we say we know baptism does not save. But John said he baptized them for repentance. And we baptize them as believers baptism, just showing what the world is. So what's the difference there?
The primary difference there with the baptism of repentance, the baptism of John, and if you go into the book of Acts, you also find out that there were people that were baptized in the name of John, if in Acts chapter 19, I believe it was, and also in Acts chapter 16, 18, or somewhere around there where Apollos came out. Apollos was preaching knowing only the baptism of John, and the people that they met at Ephesus, the disciples they met at Ephesus, they only knew the baptism of John. They had never even heard of the Holy Spirit. And so the great difference between there, the baptism of John was a baptism of primarily the Jews acknowledging that the coming of the Messiah was near, that they needed to get themselves right with God. Because that's what John preached. He preached that one would come after him.
Mm-hmm.
So they were in preparation of the coming of the Messiah. Our baptism is a baptism that is pictures the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And it is that is done, that saying, because of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, that we, like him, we died to the old life, we're raised to walk in newness of life. And it's a picture and a testimony that we are partakers of his death, his burial, his resurrection. So that is the difference. They were looking forward to the Messiah coming. So their baptism was a baptism of repentance. They were coming to God and saying, we need to get our hearts right because the Messiah is coming. Mm-hmm. They were acknowledging the coming of the Messiah, the preaching of John. But we acknowledge that the Messiah has come. He's paid the penalty for our sins. He's risen from the dead. He's ascended up on high. And he's coming again. So we live in this world waiting for his coming or to the day he takes us home. But we walk in newness of life. We've left the old world behind and now serve the living Christ. Does that explain it clear enough?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Brother Wayne, you want to dismiss us?
Be with us as we continue today in our song service and in our speaking service. Lord, just be with us, guide us, and direct us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.